Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Levi Mintz, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad for Scythe, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Heish. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforscythe.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you're joining us on The Schmooze. We've got a big show today. Not only do we have our Rabbi Levi Mintz with us, we also have a special guest. Rabbi, help me out. Throw me a life jacket here.
That's right, Tim. Good morning. It's great to be together with you on The Schmooze and with all of our listeners. And today we have a great guest. We have Rabbi Aaron Reich, who is the new assistant rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel, leading Young CBI, the congregation for the young families, and also Judah, directing Judah, which is the Hebrew school that is totally awesome. And very much looking forward, Tim, to our second segment, to be welcoming Rabbi Aaron Reich, interviewing him, and learning a little bit more about who Rabbi Aaron Reich is, because you know the reality is that having the rabbi and his wife a part of our community living in North Georgia is an incredible blessing for all of us and for the entire community.
Well, I might add that it's a blessing that we're having a Jewish community in Forsyth County. Having lived there for over 35 years, when I can still remember a day when we were pelted with rocks, we were shot at, and things of that nature, and that's in the real time, folks. So this is truly a blessing from God that we have a Jewish community, and now we have two rabbis to give us guidance.
And two Rebbetzins.
And two Rebbetzins. Yeah, we don't want to leave that out.
Without the strong woman, we're nothing.
And we won't even talk about all the babies that we've got, and more babies coming, I pray for.
Amen.
We've got to rebuild the Jewish community.
But I got to tell you, Tim, is that it's only a few years ago that Jews locally always felt that they were the only Jew.
Right.
It was only a few years ago, if you met a Jew in the supermarket, you met a Jew at the Home Depot, and you're like, are you Jewish? And they said, yes. Are there any other Jews that live here? They would laugh. Right? They would laugh. And they would say, are you kidding me? If you want to meet Jews, you know, go to Atlanta.
Right.
If you want to meet Jews, you know, go somewhere else.
Riles
Not North right. Georgia. I'm like, are you kidding me? You think you're the only Jew? So all of the gefilte fish cans that are being sold at Kroger, you're buying all of them?
We don't want to talk about,
you know, it didn't
fish.
Make sense. But there was no synagogue,
right.
So there was no place for Jews to come together and to celebrate our traditions and our values and to bring Jewish education to our children and to be able to enrich our lives.
And, you know, just to amplify that,
yeah.
When you said that, it brought back memories. I only knew two Jews in Forsyth County for over 30 years. One of them was a county commissioner that wasn't a commissioner at the time, and the other one was an attorney.
Yeah.
That was it.
Right.
And now, thank God, we've got... We're crawling all over the place, folks. Watch out.
No, but Tim, the reason for it on a very practical level, right, is that a Jew doesn't walk around town with a T-shirt that says, you know, here walks the Jew. So how would you ever know if there's another Jew that lives in North Georgia? You would never know. The only way you know is if there's a place that brings everyone together.
Right.
And establishing the synagogue in 2016 in August has proven to be one of the greatest blessings for the Jewish community, is that a Jew is no longer alone. Think about that. A Jew is no longer alone. Being alone is one of the most painful experiences. And for someone to live in North Georgia, and because they're Jewish, not having a synagogue, they have no one to celebrate the holidays, nowhere to educate their children, no one to get elevated ideas that are meaningful, that enrich their lives, and you're alone. A Jew is no longer alone.
Well, let's
North
talk
Georgia.
About the family aspect. I mean, like you're saying, if you're alone, we're all related.
100%.
We're all got some of the same blood from the days, you know, of Moses' time.
Yes. We're all the children and grandchildren of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's right.
Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. I always say that when you meet a bunch of Jews coming together, you're looking at fourth,
reunion.
Fifth cousins.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's an incredible thing.
Well, while we're talking about this, and I hate to interrupt you because I want to get to the special guest. He's been sitting there smiling at me since I can't pronounce his name. and I want to get – what is that Southern drawl, folks? I'm sorry. I was raised in the South. Tell us what's happening over at the synagogue this week.
There's a lot going on. We just actually sent out emails for everything that's happening in August. There's a lot of programs. By the way, if there's anyone listening that's not getting the emails, doesn't know about all the programs, get on the email list. Just go to jewishforsyth.org, and it's easy. Join the email list, and you'll get all the updates of everything that's happening at jewishforsyth.org. But what's most exciting, Tim, is that August is going to be the big kickoff of the new 2022-2023 year. And at the end of August, there is going to be a grand Shabbat kickoff celebration. And the celebration is going to be about many things. Number one, it's going to be about welcoming the new rabbi in Rebbetzin, Ehrenreich. Number two, it's also going to be about the Kiddush Committee. Every single year, they do a kickoff celebration where they really roll out all the goods. It's an amazing community luncheon, a great community unity, everyone coming together. But thirdly, it's also going to be the opening of the new Youth Education Center and temporary synagogue space, because during this month, God willing, we're going to start smelling diesel fuel, Tim.
I can't wait.
That's what you've been waiting for this.
Fuel.
Absolutely. Construction's going to start. We're moving out of the old house, moving into the new building. And so that Shabbat is going to be the first Shabbat that we're going to be moving in. And, of course, it's going to be a big celebration. And emails are going to be going out about it to RSVP. Come with your kids. Come with your family. It's going to be a historic moment that we're all together on the first Shabbat when we did that first critical step, moving out of the old into the new temporary space, because construction's about to begin, welcoming the new rabbi in Rebbetzin, which is the future. It's the children growing up. It's going to be a moment where we're all going to look at each other. It's going to be that Shabbat where we're going to say that we were there. We were there where new seeds were planted that are going to be growing a beautiful, beautiful garden that everyone in the North Georgia community will be able to benefit from for many, many years to come. So, of course, get involved. Go to jewishforsyth.org. Get on the email list, because there's a lot going on and we want to do it with you.
Folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Hey, folks, glad you're joining us again on The Smooth. As we've said, we've got special guests in the house this morning. Rabbi, this is tough on the big guy. Let me tell you, man. I got two rabbis I've got to try to address in here today. So it's tough. I can't mess up in front of both of them. Rabbi, tell us a little about you. Where are you from?
Hi, Tim. I am from Nyack, New York, which is about an hour north of New York City. It's in Rockland County. My parents still live there, and actually my dad is also a rabbi.
Oh, so it's generational.
Yep.
And do you have any babies yet?
Yes, thank God we have one little girl, 4 months old.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're going to rebuild the Jewish community too, right?
We are absolutely going to rebuild the Jewish community bigger and better than ever before.
Well, good. So we know you've come down here. We're honored to have you. You're going to be a great part to the Judah that we have here in Forsyth County. Tell us a little about what your vision is. I know that you're young and enterprising, so what are you going to do?
So we moved down here for one purpose, and that purpose is to make sure that every single Jewish child and every single family that has young children at home has a proper Jewish identity, and they are proud to be Jewish. Like Rabbi Mentz said earlier, until the synagogue opened in Forsyth County, every Jew was living on his own in order to create community and a real proud Jewish presence. It's all about the children. The children are the ones that are going to continue our legacy forever. If you stop short and you don't educate your children with a good, strong, proud, exciting Jewish education, it ain't going to continue. So we are going to get to every single Jewish child, whether it's through the Judah Hebrew School, which is weekly on Sunday mornings, or it's through the Young CBI, which is going to be young Shabbat services, holiday events that are family-friendly, not your old-fashioned sitting in the pew at the synagogue, or the bigger events throughout the year, We're going to make sure we get every single Jewish child to know about their Jewishness and be excited and happy and proud about their Jewishness.
Well, that sounds great. I know that the Rabbi Mintz and his wife had started that process, and now you guys are fixing to carry the ball and really make it happen. Have you already put together some kind of syllabus or what your plans are for the year?
Yes. So for this year, we will be continuing the Judah Hebrew School. Registration is actually open. And you can go to jewishforsyth.org/Judah and enroll your child for our Sunday Hebrew School. We will as well be having a monthly Shabbat Young CBI service, which will be a fun, inviting, exciting weekly Shabbat service for the kids and the dads and the moms all together. We will be part of the time in the synagogue together with the community, and the rest of the time we'll have fun, games, and then join the community for the Kiddush luncheon after the service is over. We will also be having holiday events throughout the year.
Oh, fantastic. Now, for folks that don't know, what age do the children need to come on and start their Judah? I don't know that the word prep is correct, but I'd like to think that because we want them, obviously, to be prepared to be a Jew and to live in a Jewish lifestyle.
So, essentially, the prep to live a Jewish lifestyle starts from the day that a baby is born. The things that children perceive and pick up when they're young are the things that really shape and form them for their life in the future. A child doesn't learn to speak unless he hears adults speaking around him. A child doesn't learn to walk unless he sees adults walking around him. So the only way to prepare them properly is from the day that they're born. But at Judah Hebrew School, we accept enrollments for children from age 5 until bar or bat mitzvah, which is 13 for a boy and 12 for a girl. We do actually have a post-bar and bat mitzvah program, which is called Judah Mentors, where after they have graduated from Judah, they can come back for a year or two and continue to help out at Judah and be a mentor at Judah and teach the younger children what they have learned in the past couple of years. But the Young CBI Shabbat and holiday events are open to all ages from one day old until 120.
Oh, so there's still chances for me, huh? Now, I'm not going to have to sit in that little bitty school desk that I had to sit in when I was a kid because I was a big kid, man. So, I mean, is any of that changed?
So, no school desks at the Young CBI Shabbat service. There may be school desk time at Judah. We try to limit it that it's not as much as similar to your regular day at school because we want to make it more exciting than right. Your regular day at school. But, no, if you'd like to come, you're welcome to come with your children, and we will not be sitting them at a desk for very long.
Good deal. That sounds good. Now, what about interactive? How interactive? Because I didn't get the education, which was one of the things that I discussed with Rabbi Mintz when I first met him, and it excites me that these kids are getting an opportunity of something I didn't have. So how is Judah taught? How do you teach it? Is it on a computer? I hope not. Or, you know, those little phone things that get us all in trouble? Or how do you guys go about teaching these kids?
No, absolutely not. Judah is not taught on a computer or on a phone. Just imagine for a second. You come up with your child to drop them off at a Judah lesson on Sunday morning at 9:30, and you pull into the parking lot, and there is blasting, booming music. Rabbi is standing there with a huge smile. The teachers are wearing funny hats, and your kid is just so excited to be there. They are doing crafts, hands-on activities, coloring, painting, all kinds of building, experiments, and snacks. And then again, when they leave, there is booming music. It's all about the energy.
And as far as what they're interacting and coloring and doing, is teaching them, I'm assuming, teaching them about the Jewish lifestyle and how to be a Jew, right?
Absolutely. Everyone remembers their grandmother's small little silver or tin menorah sitting in the china closet in her dining room. So why have a tin menorah or a little silver menorah that might be used once a year when the family gets together, when you can teach a child to take a few pieces of wood or a few pieces of marble with a couple of bolts and put together their own menorah and paint it and be excited about the fact that they were able to put their own creativity and their own energy into creating that menorah and then use that menorah. Or, for example, we do building things out of food. You want to build a sukkah, a hut, for the holiday of Sukkot. You take some graham crackers, some little sour belts, marshmallow fluff, stick it all together, and there you got four walls and the green stuff for the roof. These are just small examples of how we make things exciting and interesting for the children rather than being not so.
Tell us about the facility, because I know Rabbi kind of broached on it a little bit. You know, we're fixing to smell diesel fuel, thank God. I love diesel fuel. But what have you and your wife done to make it more appealing and ready for these children?
So until now, the synagogue has been in a smaller space that didn't have dedicated spaces for classrooms. Right now, as we're transitioning to the youth center and the temporary synagogue, while we wait for the building to be ready in the near future, we will have dedicated classrooms which will be decorated for Judah and decorated for our young family events that will be dedicated specifically for the youth. And that's one thing that we're doing. I was actually there last Sunday volunteering and ripping out sheetrock and installing new LED lights to make sure it's bright and ready for the kids.
Rabbi, I can't wait to see it. Can't wait till the Judah class starts. And this sounds like this is going to be awesome. We're going to take a quick break, folks.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Folks, glad you joined us again on The Smooze. We have had a huge show this morning, as you can hear already. We've got our guest rabbi. We've got Rabbi Mintz with us. Rabbi, there's a holiday coming up, and it's, you know, most holidays we celebrate with a lot of love and joy and happiness, and this one isn't quite that way.
Well, today is the 9th of Av as we're recording the show. It's the day that the first and the second temple were destroyed and began what today is almost 2,000 years of Jewish exile. It's the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. And the question that's really highlighted is, will evil ever be eradicated? And it's usually in this question that a lot of people become very skeptical. People will usually say, I believe that with time we can develop and that some evil will be eradicated. But to believe that all evil will be eradicated, I don't know, that's a hard idea to swallow. Let's get back to this question. I want to share with you a story. It's a story that happened a few years after the Holy Temple was destroyed. It happened with Rabbi Akiva, one of the great Jewish sages. Both of these stories that I'm going to share both happened with a fox and both happened with the same rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. Story number one. Rabbi Akiva was looking at his students and he was saying, I want you to understand how critical the study of Torah is for the individual. That if a person wants to live an elevated, meaningful life and to touch their purpose and to rise above the difficulties and the challenges that life presents, if one wants to truly want to live life, not just exist, but to live, you have to study Torah. Take those ideas and let it do the inner transformation. He says, I want to give you a story. There was once fish that were running from fishermen. And the fishermen, they knew their art very well, and they were chasing after the fish, trying to get them, going around and around and around. All of a sudden, there was a fox that was seeing what was going on. And the fox says, psst, psst, fish, fish. You see what the fishermen are doing to you? They're trying to kill you. Come over here. I'll take care of you. Come out of the water. I'll put you in a nice little cave. You'll be warm. It'll be nice. And you won't have to worry about the fishermen that are coming to get you. And the fish looked at the fox and said, Fox, fox, you swindler. You don't think I understand what's going to happen? Yes, in the water, it can be difficult with all of these fishermen trying to come and kill me. But I know that if I go out of my source of life for one moment, I die. Rabbi Akiva was telling his students, yes, it can be difficult in the times of exile, but our life is given to us by the Torah, by the ideas. The Torah is our water. And therefore, walking away from the Torah for one moment will just continue to exist, but will stop living. You have to understand the context of the story. At that time, Rome prohibited the study of Torah by the punishment of death. Many of the students were saying, wouldn't we rather exist and stop studying the Torah? And Rabbi Akiva said, you can make that choice. You can continue to exist, but you'll stop living. Let me tell you another story with Rabbi Akiva with the fox. It happened a few years earlier. The rabbi was walking with a few other rabbis, and they came to the ruins of the Temple Mount. Fresh. All the stones, all laid there. By the way, you can join my wife and I in Israel next year, March. We're leaving March 13th to March 20th. And you can actually see the original ruins that are still there that we're going to be going touring. If you want more information about this, just go to the website, jewishforsyth.org. And Rabbi Akiva was walking, and all of a sudden, all of the other rabbis start crying. Of course they were crying. They saw the ruins. Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. They looked at Rabbi Akiva, and they said, how could you laugh? He says, because now I see that the prophecy was just fulfilled. They said, what prophecy? Says the prophet said that if the Jewish people would do X, Y, and Z and walk away from the path of God, the temple would be destroyed. And look, it's true. So they said, so how could you be laughing? He says, because now that I see that one prophecy was fulfilled, I know that the next prophecy will be fulfilled. What's the next prophecy? The next prophecy will be that the Jews will be gathered and the third temple will be rebuilt. And the Talmud says that the rabbis looked at Rabbi Akiva and says, Rabbi, you've comforted us. Rabbi, you've comforted us. What was essentially going on? There was one detail of the story that I didn't share. That the reason why the rabbi started crying was because they saw a fox that was running through the ruins. That was a place that used to be the Holy Temple. It used to be a place where living was celebrated. But then what happened? Existence took over. Even the fox, the swindler, was running through the ruins. On top of the ruins, showing dominance. Why live a life of meaning and purpose? Live a life of existence. Rabbi Akiva was able to say that the day will come when all will be rebuilt. But how is that possible? Let's go back to our original question. How can all evil be eradicated? As human beings, we all believe that evil can be eradicated, but it needs to be done step by step. Do you know that almost 100 years ago, the cancer association was established. Billions of dollars have been established to go and eradicate cancer. Is there still cancer? Yes. Have we made headway? Absolutely. It's a process. Have we made a process over the last 2,000 years of cultures and civilizations becoming more kind and more elevated? Absolutely. There are things today that are not acceptable that were just fine 200 years ago. We have to understand that as humans, we believe that evil can be chipped away. So if it can be chipped away, let's walk down that road. Keep on chipping bit after bit, bit by bit, piece by piece, and with time we'll get there. Yeah, we all want instant gratification. We all want instant results. We want all evil to be eradicated. No more disease, no more poverty. It's a process. And the Torah is what anchors us. Its ideas is what anchors us to allow us to walk that road, to be able to rebuild. Till we get to that day, there'll be no more bloodshed, there'll be no more famine, there'll be no more poverty, there'll be no more hate. We'll be a people, a world, different types, different ideas, different colors, different stripes, but we'll be united, we'll be one, we'll be true unity. It's been a long road, but the ninth of Av reminds us that we got to keep on marching forward because the day will come when the fox will no longer be running on top of the ruins of Jerusalem, but Jerusalem will rise up again, and that living will be celebrated for all, meaning will be celebrated for all, purpose will be celebrated for all, and unity will be celebrated for all.
There may be some good that comes from the ninth of Av. But this is a great show. Rabbi, thank you. Rabbi, it was a pleasure meeting you this morning. Folks, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
And let's never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforsyth.org.